Blog Talk Radio.
Today, Ari, because we have so many other things that we can say rather than it's tax day and people are feeling some different emotions. So, but today we are here to celebrate all of the positive affirmations of who we are besides taxpayers. And I'm very excited to be here with co-authors that I've not met in person, and most I've not even spoken to live, but I'm really looking forward to over the next several months. I believe very strongly that we are going to have more time together because we are now family, and it's awesome, the beautiful project that has been put together that we've all had the opportunity and the privilege and the honor to be part of. So I am thrilled to jump right into it. We have 5 other co-authors besides myself, as well as the lead compiling author, the vessel of inspiration for this project, entitled I Am With Love. Okay, I don't have my notes.
Yes.
Love, guidance, wisdom through soul reflections. Welcome our lead author, Dr. Nicole Eastman. Are you there, Nicole?
I am here. Thank you for having me on, Ms. Evelyn.
Thank you. This has been such a joy, I tell you. I am elated. I'm a whole lot of things, and that's one of the things. I'm elated to be a part of such a heartfelt project, ministry, outreach that so it's so in alignment with my own core values and beliefs as well as my calling and purpose in this life. So thank you for allowing me to be a part. Tell our listeners what inspired you to compile this anthology and what is your desire and your hope, your purpose and mission in doing so.
Well, back in 2012, I had the honor of becoming a mentor to about 25 girls in Detroit, Michigan at Hope of Detroit Academy. And that's where my husband.
Right. Let me explain to our audience, because you're not only a doctor and author, you are something else that you're very proud of, and we're going to celebrate. We have a little person there with you. So you are Mommy.
Mom, and my son is making sure that everybody knows that I am a mom right now.
Oh, hi, Jack.
He's trying to nurse himself to sleep right now. So, but we actually found out that I was pregnant while I was mentoring the girls that became the inspiration behind this entire project. And my husband worked at Hope of Detroit, Tim Eastman. He's another one of the co-authors for this amazing compilation. He's here with me, too, so you can talk to him. And back in 2012 is when I started mentoring the girls. They really became sisters to me that I never had growing up, and I fell in love with them almost immediately, and it definitely was a divine calling in terms of being able to mentor them. I think they blessed me more than I blessed them with my presence. So then in December, I kept feeling this urge to do a mentoring compilation. I was involved in Bold is Beautiful, which came out in December, and then I was asked to contribute a chapter to Balance for Busy Moms, another compilation that had come out in March. And I had every reason why I was too busy to take on this project, but God kept pressing it on me, and thankfully I listened to the strong pressing that was placed onto my heart. And then I continued just to follow where I was being led, who I was being led to, and I ended up with 27 other amazing individuals who really just gave their most deepest, intimate experiences, and we were able to co-create this amazing book together.
Yes, it's awesome. I know you have your hands full. Would you happen to have a part of the introduction there with you that you could read to our listeners?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let me pull that up. I actually had went through all of the chapters when I was putting the introduction together, because that really, I mean, when you read all of the chapters, you relate to so many, if not all of the co-authors. I know that every single chapter I read, I had what I called glory bombs, goosebumps. I just couldn't believe how many similarities we all have. And I think so often we look at each other's differences, but we really need to look at the similarities that we have. So here is, if you go to the I Am Love, Wisdom, and Guidance fan page on Facebook, under the description, it says, "We live in a broken world and people are hurting. Many of these issues of pain stem from our youth and follow us into adulthood. Underneath deceiving appearances and tough outer shells, many, if not most of us, are struggling with feelings of being abused, addicted, alone, bullied, defeated, different, fake, fearful, hopeless, belated, negative, stifled, ugly, unable, unappreciated, uncomfortable, unheard, unloved, unwanted, unworthy. Sound familiar? I am sure, because these feelings are common. Even though you may feel like you are the only one who is experiencing the issues that you contend with, you are not. You are not alone." It goes on and it says, "Do you lack confidence and self-worth? It is quite possible that you have never learned to love yourself for who you truly are. Are you held back in life by feelings surrounding body image and what is depicted by society as beautiful? Maybe you have made choices that leave you feeling remorseful, or maybe you are filled with feelings of regret, guilt, and or anger. Have you made choices to move forward but are paralyzed with fear? My past were to resurface. What if someone judges me for my imperfections? What if people do not like me for the real me? What if they are mad at me? Maybe you have made good choices in life but have suffered at the hands of others. Do you live with a bitter heart filled with hatred, or do you choose to look past the faults of others and seek forgiveness so you are not held captive by another person's pain? Do you feel lost, broken? Maybe you do not see where you fit in into this world. Do you seek forgiveness, understanding, unconditional love, non-judgmental, non-authoritative wisdom and guidance? If any of this resonates deep within your soul, then you will love the intimate honesty shared within these pages. Each co-author has invited you into a place where not many have been. They have opened themselves, allowing you into their deepest feelings and experiences. For some, this is the very first time they have allowed themselves vulnerability and healing. Each soul within this book has allowed you to go below the surface. They have shared their experiences. They have provided wisdom gained through hindsight and learning the hard way, and they have provided practical guidance to help others learn from their mistakes and experience pain. Hopefully, these honest accounts of real talk will prevent you from experiencing unnecessary pain and also allow for the realization that you are not alone. There is hope. Recognizing that you are not alone is reassuring. The next step is choosing loving self-talk. There is great power in words, and this too provides hope because you can change your life by learning to speak to yourself positively. Each chapter within this compilation is a positive affirmation. Even if you do not feel this way before reading a particular chapter, it is hoped that you will come to embody each of these affirmations after reading and practicing these words. So that's our introduction to the book.
Wow. It encompasses so much. And I would find it hard to believe if someone didn't find something inside that they could really relate to and that resonated with them at some point in their lives, if not at that given moment. You know, you talked about real talk, and you know the title of this program is Heart Talk. And it comes from having counseled so many, but especially youth, and as you may know, my work is primarily with children who've been in and out of foster care, who may have been adopted, that there are things from their hearts that they never share. And I think about some of the young people that are judged and criticized because of their outer appearance, but very few people have the opportunity to really hear and feel their hearts. And this is what this is all about, Heart Talk. So it's in perfect alignment that we would be sharing that here. And I'm sure in your work with the girls that you mentored in Michigan, that is what your experience was all about.
Right. You know, and on the back of the book cover, the book explains the different type of issues that this book covers, and there's just so much. I'll read those off quickly. There's absence of a fatherly figure, abuse that includes, you know, physical, psychological, sexual abuse, acceptance from others. I mean, who doesn't relate to that? Addiction, adoption, one of your special areas, body image, bullying, cancer, death of loved ones. We're all going to relate to that at some point in our life. Disability, divorce, eating disorders, ethnic diversity, you know, being comfortable with the color that God blessed your skin, fear, learning disabilities. We have a couple co-authors who have experienced going to jail. We've got love, mental illness, negativity, perfectionism. That's something that I struggled with a lot in the past. Personal identity. My husband talks about pornography, sex, and sexually transmitted diseases, which is always a topic of discomfort when we're talking to especially our youth. We have other topics including poverty, relationships, self-esteem, self-harm, then, of course, societal labels, teen pregnancy, violence, and then just the issues stemming from being unique. And, you know, that's something that we should embrace as individuals, but so often in this world, that's an area where people are bullied. So it's really, really amazing when I was going through and seeking out the co-authors for this, I had a board, kind of like a vision board, and I was writing down topics where I felt like there were holes in the book. And once I got the chapters in, though, all of the holes were already filled, and it's just so amazing how this project has all come together so nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and everything has a bigger picture, a larger plan. And the other thing I'll note that times when people will say, well, I've never experienced any of that, the reality is there are so many different experiences that we can each have, but there are only so many emotions, and we can all share those same emotions regardless of what the outer experience or behavior is. So that is one thing I would like to say to those who may have heard the list and say, you know what, I never dealt with anything. You didn't talk about what my issue is. Yeah, but our inner issues are all interrelated, and that's the most important thing. And relationship and communication and really learning one another is that we have more in common than we realize. So I am so grateful that you put this together and that I got to be a part of it, and I'm looking forward to sharing it. So we have several of our authors online, and why don't you introduce them, or would you like for me to, since I'm not sure if you're aware of all who is on the line.
I'm not sure of all who is on the line. I know I've got my husband here with me, so he's accounted for. He is not a fan of doing radio, but I'm pushing him outside of his comfort zone. So.
Well, you know, we're going to give him a big hug. We're going to put, since he's the only male author on the call tonight, we're going to put him in the middle of all us ladies. So
that's
that way he'll be hugged. He'll have a hug from one side and the other side. How does that sound, Tim?
She's going to put you in between all of the ladies, so you're getting a huge hug from all of us. He loves that. He said that's the Timmy sandwich.
Tell him he is hugged. I'm just loving the I am statements because they seem to be popping up all over the place. And sometimes we don't realize that we are often saying I am followed by something that is really not elevating. And that is very important. Even when we teach communication skills and hear people talk about what they're feeling, to say I feel. But it's a different thing to say who I am, and that we only claim and declare and affirm the positive things. So I actually had written people's names down by alphabetical order of their last names. So let's start with Brianna. Brianna Daugherty.
Yes, Brianna Daugherty.
See, I knew it would happen. How are
That's
you, Brianna?
Okay. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Schoolcraft, Michigan.
Ah, okay. I've never heard of the first name, but I know of Michigan. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nicole, why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience with Brianna and what her chapter meant to you?
I'm sorry?
I was asking Nicole to tell us a little bit about her meeting you. Maybe we'll let you do the opposite then, do that, and tell us how you came about being a part of this project and what piqued your interest.
Oh, Nicole, did you want to speak or would you like me to? It does not matter.
You can go ahead. Brianna and I have literally grown up since we were little elementary students together. So
yes.
Our history goes way back. So I'll let Brianna take over.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, we actually grew up one street over from each other and went to the same school all through grade, middle, and high school. And then I would say we were acquaintances. And so as, you know, the last few years within my profession in counseling, I've been pretty outspoken, I guess you could say, about children's issues related to emotions and counseling, especially on my social media pages. And Nicole and I have been friends on Facebook. And a few months ago, I think actually it might have been in January, she had contacted me and asked if I had ever thought about writing about some of the experiences that I've had within counseling and some of my thoughts about that. And so she had kind of piqued my interest in it. Because I know she had been co-authoring some other books that I had read about previously. And so I had talked with her about the project and prayed about it and spoke with my husband about it and really felt led to do this. And the fact that I work with young people every day, and oftentimes I feel like they don't have the voice that they should be allowed to have to kind of express what they're going through. And I thought this was a great way to kind of relate to them and contribute my piece of what I experienced when I was younger.
Wonderful. And your chapter is entitled?
I Am Free.
I Am Free. And
yes.
What was the inspiration behind just the whole word free for you?
For me, when I was younger, I often had a lot of very intense emotions, which I find are quite common for young people. And I never learned how to embrace those emotions and understand really where they were coming from and how to deal with them. And so the journey that I took in my teenage years and into my early 20s was really about me becoming free to express myself and free to accept that my emotions are part of who I am and make me the beautiful, wonderful person that I am.
Wonderful. Did you suppress a lot of your emotions, or did you take them and mask them with other things?
That's a great question. I found myself doing both. Oftentimes, my emotions, especially in my early teenage years, were channeled into mostly anger and rage. And so I would often wear a very, I thought, well-constructed mask that on the outside, even in school, I think people thought that I had it all together and that I knew how I was feeling and how to take care of myself. And then when I would be in the comfort of my own home or around people that I knew loved me unconditionally, it was this explosive feeling of emotion, almost like a volcano erupting, where I didn't understand all the feelings and thoughts I was having, and also just in general, the hormones that I was experiencing, and so it just kind of compiled and exploded.
Yes, and I find that so much in my work with adolescents, but even younger children. I recently ran into a young man that I worked with when he was in junior high school. Now he's 30-something with a family. And when I approached him, he said, first of all, I just want to say to whatever I did, I apologize. And he began to tell me, said, you know, at that age, I had no idea how to express everything that was going on within me. He said, I didn't even have words to describe it. He said, and now I know better. And I think that's our whole goal, and I hope that that is something that someone, many ones, will be able to pick up in reading this book to realize that it's always something more. Like I said, anger is just a secondary emotion. It's always something else beneath that. So I appreciate your sharing that. I am free. And, you know, people think that anger is bad. And I said, you know, anger is only bad if you project it negatively onto someone else to try to make someone else pay for it, and it's destructive. You know, and I always just say, you know, the Bible didn't say don't be angry. The Bible says be angry and sin not. So that is, for me, is very important that I haven't even read your chapter, but my conclusion at this point, or I won't say conclusion because it's not even the end, but what I've taken from that is that we're free to express our emotions, including anger, if we learn how to do it helpfully.
Absolutely, and that's a large portion of my work. I work with a vast majority of my clients are actually young people that are either in foster care or have been adopted. And so a lot of those emotions, when we really get to the core of it and tap into it, is this anger, but it's actually sadness or just not understanding, feeling unloved because of the situations that they've been in. So understanding where that's coming from and how to channel it positively.
Absolutely. Oh, we will definitely have to connect because I got goose pimples because that is just so, you know, so close to my heart. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing. We're going to move on so we can make sure that everyone else gets an opportunity, and then we'll do a sort of a free flow in just a moment. I am going to skip over at this moment to Suzanne. Are you there, Suzanne?
I am.
Suzanne. Gabley. Welcome. How are you?
I am just so excited to be here with you all and to share in this collaboration of beautiful souls that are sharing their dark secrets or their hardships through their life and how they're coming out to the other side and making a real big difference in our communities across the world. And that's so impactful. And people are hurting, and people don't know how to get healthy, or they think they're healthy and they're really not. And then they hurt others, too.
And people just say, get over it.
Yeah, well, what do you mean you're depressed? Just get happy. You know, it's, depression is a serious thing, and it's when you're a child of family, you know, depression in your family and parent dysfunction because of life crises, and you know, our children in today's world are in a lot of crises, and how we can help them by knowing that there's other people that are compassionate to their situation and that to encourage them and give them the love and the hope that for them to know that they can get through this and they can prevail and that others that are, you know, have a path ahead of them has cleared some ways to be able to inspire them to get through whatever hardships that they are going through in their life right now.
Exactly. So where are you calling from, and what is your chapter?
I am Light. I am calling from Highland, Michigan, where we just got dumped on snow. We had 3 days of 70-plus degree weather to today. Us high achievers in the Detroit, Michigan area received we won the most snow ever this year. So we had to make sure we put that in there and to get a lot of snow. So we have snow this morning. So, but Highland, Michigan, I'm just about an hour outside of Detroit.
Wonderful. So the light, I am light. And what was the inspiration behind your becoming a part of the project and as well as your chapter?
Well, coming from a parent dysfunction and being bullied by actually an aunt through my adolescence was a hardship. There were several people in my childhood that, in their maybe their heart, they wanted the best for you, but they didn't know how to handle their own emotion along with their own addictions. And they were abusive. And I Am Light was, you know, going through and wanting to be perfect, the previous perfection of wanting to be that perfect, pleasing child so I didn't cause a lot of attention or cause any trouble. But you can never live to, you know, we are perfect in who we are, but not in the vision of what we are think we're supposed to be. And by accepting ourselves, and my awakening was is a process, is a journey, is to accept myself and to forgive, which was a journey of my own father and my aunt, who, you know, I did not even talk to my father for 7 years and my aunt for 35 years, and I just actually gave her a beautiful note, you know, forgiving her for what she did, because it's the forgiveness in your heart that helps you. They don't really carry on what they did to you. It's what you carry on what they did, you know, what they did to you, you carry it. And letting go and being the light to show that you can forgive, being the awakening, my passion is for early childhood education and children, and giving them the encouragement to be true to their God-given gifts, and that they can be accepted for all of their talents and their wonderment and curiosity in a natural nature setting. And that's my awakening, you know, having children myself and now being a mother of three. My passion is for being an advocate for all children.
Beautiful. A lot of child advocates here. I can see where this is coming full circle. Nicole, any comments on I Am Light and your bringing in Suzanne for the compilation?
Well, Suzanne and I co-authored Bold is Beautiful together, and so I met Suzanne that way. And actually, Suzanne came over yesterday on our launch day, and we got to have some intimate conversation. And Suzanne is seriously a ray of light. Her presence is just so beautiful. It was such a pleasure to be able to connect with her in person, and it just always amazes me that some of the most beautiful, kind-hearted people have went through so much in their life. And I think that those hardships actually shape us and allow us just to appreciate the positive more. And as she said, normally Tim and I and our son Jack live in Grand Cayman, but we're in Michigan right now. And so Jack saw his first snow today, and he ate snow, and he played in snow, and I think he got a brain freeze from eating his snow, so that's been quite fun. I think he's one of very few people who are excited to see snow in Michigan in April. So
I saw the photos. They're absolutely adorable. Wonderful. Okay, and what can you tell us about Miss Suniti Saxena?
Suniti, I had the pleasure of meeting back in, I'm pretty sure it was back in January or February, and I met Suniti through a co-author, Angie, who was another co-author with me on the book for Balance for Busy Moms, and I saw a post on Angie's Facebook that was from Suniti, and it was all about creativity, and something inside of me just led me to her, and I love that her roots are from India. I love that despite expectations by other people, she still followed her heart's desire, and she manages to be creative and to use those talents in her everyday life. And I find that fascinating because I think so many people let other people dictate their life journey. And Suniti did not allow that to happen for her. So I was able to speak with her, and thankfully she accepted this opportunity. And I'm honored to be part of this journey with her.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, Ms. Suniti, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me. I teach art, and like every other day, I write something on my school's website, on my page, something that like inspires my students. I teach art in a very unique way, and I not only teach art, but like I help them to deal with their problems, and I ask them to express their feelings in art, and then it's a very good it was a very good opportunity to share with the world what I teach. And I was very excited when Nicole approached me to contribute a chapter for her book. So I'm very excited about that.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's so important to me is I realize so many of our young people – have gifts that are hidden or laying dormant within inside of them. And it's so awesome to watch the transformation that takes place once they start to tap into their own gifts and creativities. I'm sure you've had that experience with young people.
Yeah, I have experience with young people. Yeah, and like when I was a teenager, I never expressed my feelings with others, and like because I think that it was no use, and like I wanted to forgive them, and I wanted to move on. But in this chapter, I have expressed my true life story, and the emotions that I never expressed, and after writing this chapter. I felt very relieved, and not only relieved, but like I'm very happy that the bold hints that I am sharing with the world, and that the people are going to going to learn with that, and like I'm very happy about that. So like when I was a teenager, I was creative. I used to sew, I used to paint, I used to sculpt, and I like to do many activities that are creative. And I like to do everything that is unique in my own way. Because at that time, like nobody understood me. I have something in my in me that's a talent, but I didn't know that time that what line should pursue, but I kept on doing whatever I wanted, and also I used to write short poems, and that was my hobby, and still I think that I will sometimes in the future contribute my short stories for children in the future. So I think that I am creative, and I think that the world it's a need in the world for the children to be creative, and not only creative, actually positively creative, and
yes.
Positively creative. It's very important for them. So that's why I chose this title for my chapter.
I love it, and you know I believe that that's also the cause of a lot of the restlessness that we experience in our communities. People talk about, especially the adolescents, you know, it starts when children are little and they're just busy, busy. But some of that ability to be able to really channel that into something positive gets taken away, first of all, by sometimes they're not being exposed to the resources and the tools and just the knowledge and exposure to different things. And that is why it's so important to invest in our young people, not only, you know, financially, but time-wise, because they're just aching, literally, to get it out, and they don't understand that restlessness, and some of that gets sort of buried out through drugs and other substances and negative behavior. As you said, we want to focus on positive things to channel that energy. So that's awesome. I have a question. Did you grow up in India?
Actually in 2012 I was there, and now
it's because I know that there are some cultural differences in terms of how children and adolescents are raised, what the expectations are of them. But I think what's very important that I am just learning and doing some travel is that universally the needs are still the same for the children and the teens. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think somehow, I don't know, I guess for me, I was initially intimidated by the fact, well, I can't tell anybody what to do with young people. You know, that's their culture. They don't know what I'm doing. And as I traveled, I realized I really, really connected with some of the young people in the different areas. And it was like, oh, my gosh. And it really sort of sparked in me the desire to travel more and to make my message more global than just, you know, just local or domestically. So that's very insightful. She had to realize that people and children are the same in uh-huh. terms of their emotions and their hearts and their needs, regardless of what the cultural standards uh-huh. or bridges might be. So thank you so very much for sharing. I appreciate it. Okay. So now I think we've got enough of Brett on this side to be able to insert our male author, who is none other than the Mr. Tim Eastman, the husband of our lead author, Ms. Nicole, Dr. Nicole Eastman. Are you there, Nicole, to introduce Mr. Tim?
I am here, and my husband is standing here, and he's going to step over some fear.
And the title of this chapter is, I Am...
His Forgiven, and I'm going to pass the phone over to him now.
Okay. Welcome.
Hi, Ms. Evelyn. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm nervous, but good. Thank you.
Nervous. Oh, just talk like we were talking when we were Skyping. It's all fun and a joy. It's all live and it's all real and it's all from the heart.
Yes, ma'am.
So how has this whole experience been for you?
Difficult.
Difficult.
I mean, not many people knew the extent of my sexual past and the sexually transmitted infections I've passed. I mean, nobody really knew that side of it. And it was difficult, and I didn't want to write it. I accepted it. You know, Nicole asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. I said, sure. And then as the deadline approached, I was just dragging my feet, but she was very encouraged. She encouraged me a lot and helped me get over my fear, so I was grateful to her.
Wow. And once you completed it, how did you feel?
Nervous.
Still nervous, okay. So probably there's going to be a little edge of nervousness there until you start to get responses back from readers, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good thing. I mean, you know, like in Psalms 103 it talks about he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. And then it goes further down and talks about, like, he discards them as far as east is from the west. And I think that's a big realization to receive his forgiveness and just that you're washed. I mean, he cleanses you free of your sins and that you start new.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And people tend to put categories of sins, if you look at it from the Christian perspective, or if even a non-Christian perspective, people still put categories of difficulties and challenges and addictions, sort of like in a spectrum. But the reality is it all comes from the same place. And there is, like you say, you know, it's just from the east, from the west, when we know that we are forgiven. And I believe that everything we experience is, again, as the Bible says, you know, what the devil means for harm, God uses it for his good. So I believe that the experiences that we have, especially the ones that bring usually the most pain or shame, are the ones when we turn on the light and become free, as our other authors have stated, it releases us to fulfill our purpose. And I believe that the message goes far. And I haven't read the chapter yet, but I believe that as people read the story, they will realize that some of their other issues have probably started off in very much the same way, or maybe the very same. And it's time to shed light, because people are walking around in shame and embarrassment and not feeling at all any of the I ams and the positive things that we were created to. I wanted to ask you another question. If you had read something like you've just written in your earlier years while you were in the midst of your addiction and activity, how do you think you would have been impacted by reading the story that you've just written?
I mean, honestly, I don't know how it really would affect me. I mean, I'm not sure if I would have continued what I was doing or if I would have stopped. I mean, just, I would like to think that I would stop.
Uh-huh.
And just to kind of smell the roses, but I'm not really sure. That's a hindsight. Yes, I wish, hopefully it would allow me.
Well, you know, I think sometimes we focus so much on the behaviors and the external reaction, and what we're really going for is the internal. Basically, how would you've been made to feel about yourself? Because a lot of times people continue to do things and are still feeling, and usually sometimes that is the core of why they're doing it, is how they're feeling about themselves and how things have impacted their lives to cause them to make the choices and behave the way in which they do. But it starts on the inside. It's an inside-out job, and people don't just start by, you know, just stopping automatically and then feeling good about themselves. It's an ongoing process. There are some miraculous healings that are done in people's lives where their experience has been, you know, someone said something or they did something or they had, you know, an epiphany and all of a sudden things change. But for most people, it's an ongoing process, a work in progress. So I believe that you're probably going to hear some very powerful responses and testimonies from your chapter, and I appreciate the fact that you took the stand to do something, because this is what it's really about. Our being transparent and our being open is the only way that healing comes, and we have to be willing to just take it off and go out there and say, you know, this is the naked truth, and I have nothing to fear, and no, neither do you. So
thank you.
Is there anything else that you wanted to share about
it's truly a wonderful book, and I mean, there's, like Nicole said earlier, there's people hurting all over, and this book is impressive, and it will help you. I mean, there's no doubt about it. In one aspect or another, help somebody that you know.
Right. Definitely. It's definitely going to be a healing tool. And I just can't say how many times I'm excited about it. So thank you so much. And I will just add that Tim is not the only male author in the anthology of I Am Love. Oh, I Am Love. I'm stuck on my own title. I Am, comma, exclamation mark, Love, Wisdom and Guidance Through Self-Reflection. He's just the only one on the call tonight, so I will thank you for representing the brethren.
thank
you for sharing so much. All right, so let's move on to Miss Shannon Monticello Davis. Let me turn her mic on. There she is. Nicole, what would you like to tell us about Shannon?
I met Shannon, I met Shannon before my dad passed away, and he passed away in 2008. So I believe I've known Shannon since around 2006, 2007, and Shannon and I became friends through friends of my ex-fiance, actually. And, yeah, boy, is there so much stuff to tell. But anyway, Shannon and her husband, after they got married, moved to Texas. And this was all before my accident, when I lived a much different lifestyle and social lifestyle, a lot different than my life since my accident, where I turned to Christ. And throughout everything, though, I maintained a friendship with Shannon through Facebook. And again, she was another person whose name just kept weighing on me, and I did not know what it was or why it was that I kept so pulled to her, but once we had the opportunity to sit and talk and reconnect via Skype or FaceTime, whichever, I don't remember which method it was, but I had no question of why it was that God was leading me back to her. And it's just so amazing how life can reconnect you with people when your life has taken you on a different journey and you've grown into somewhat of a different person, and just to be able to reconnect and have a deeper relationship with them. And so I feel really, really blessed that life has brought me back to Shannon.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Nicole.
Well, thank you, Shannon. And so you're in Texas?
Yes, I am. I had moved in 2009 to Prosper, Texas.
Wonderful. And your chapter is entitled, I Am Wanted.
Yes. Yes, it is. And with that chapter, I decided to co-author in the book I Am is because I wanted to raise awareness of adoption and talk about the emotions that come with it. I feel as though adoption is not talked about enough, especially with the emotional side. And there's so many people out in this world that have been adopted, whether it's through, you know, marriage, open adoption, family, international adoptions. It just doesn't get talked about, especially the emotions that you go through having to deal with that.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, that's special to my heart. I couldn't remember. I know someone, I read one of the few of the videos that I actually looked at, and the one, so that was yours, I think I wrote you a note on. I couldn't even remember who it was, but I would definitely be with you and really would like to have the full hour on this program to talk to you about that, because I'm not sure if you're aware that I am an adoptive parent myself. I was an adoption social worker, and it's just amazing, you know, because I've mostly dealt with foster care, older child adoptions, but I was recently contacted by the first infant that I placed for adoption as a social worker, who is now 30 years old, so I'm looking forward to having her on the program, and
That's
it's just
great.
Amazing. Yeah. So, anyway, getting back on track. So would you say that the feeling of not being wanted is one of the most prevalent feelings that tends to come up with many adoptees?
Yeah, you know, it kept weighing on me. Just trying to explain to people what you felt, you know. For me, I was lucky enough. I was raised by a wonderful family. And when I was 15, I kind of learned the truth about all of my adoption. And then, you know, a lot of things throughout my life kept popping up with adoption and, you know, biological parents and this and this and this. And it's just coping with it. And, you know, when I was going through my teenagers, there was a lot of times that I felt alone or an outcast or, you know, insecure of myself and how I kind of fit in with the family, even though they did everything they could to love me as much as they could, and they gave me everything, but you still just have those insecurities. So my chapter, I just kind of wrote about dealing with it and how I was able to ease those insecurities and walk myself through comprehending all of it.
Oh, beautiful. Well, I'll be giving one to all of my adoptees. I might just have to do like that take pages out of the book because there are so many children and young adults and older adults, period, who feel that way. And I believe the fact that even people who were not, who have not been adopted have so that inkling. And I believe that there is something that just happens on a very emotional, deep, as they say, cellular level that happens during infancy, that there's a knowing, and especially when people have not been had the opportunity to even talk openly about it without the shame-based language that's used. That's one of my pet peeves about how we even talk about adoption, and one is just the whole thing giving up for adoption, and I like to say placed for adoption. You know, who wants to be given up? So, yeah, I have a lot of issues with that, and even with my own son when I was trying to get some therapy for him, I could not get the therapist to understand that a lot of the issues that he was dealing with were not all based on our relationship. It was based on the circumstances. And during one session, he burst out and said, I wish I'd never been adopted. I understood exactly what he was saying, but the therapist totally freaked out. I had to ask her to leave the room because she was interfering with the therapeutic process for him. And I said, I understand. This is not about me. And I told him, I wish you hadn't been adopted either. I wish the circumstances which led to that. But I'm glad I can be here for you. So that's, as you can tell, that's a very emotional topic for me, that people don't get it. People don't get it. But and I'm sure
and
there's a lot
that before. I've used that sentence as a teenager. I know I've used that sentence before.
Mhm.
Yep. Just the emotions dealing with that. It's just so interesting.
Mhm. Right. And I think the parents need to be able to understand and be prepared for when that comes up as well, and realize everything is not about us. Wonderful.
Right.
So great. Well, thank you for sharing that message with the world, and I look forward to being connected with you in the future, especially in November, because are you aware that November is National Adoption Month?
Oh, no, I was not. I'm very excited for that.
Okay, so I will definitely, we will definitely be reconnected, but I would like to share something with you, one being on the program, but something else perhaps during the month of November. Yeah, and hook you up with some of the adoption advocates on Facebook even.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. And, yeah, definitely, you know, I've started a Facebook page just for those who, you know, have been adopted, just a little community website. I've done that. You know, I have my website coming soon for that. I just really want there to be, you know, an organization and I know they're all out there. I really want to promote that community so much more because, like I said, I think it will get easier and better when others that have been adopted talk to others that have been adopted. I just think that is a great thing.
Wonderful. Well, I was going to say give us your website and the Facebook page, but I don't want to be partial, so I'm going to wait to the end and ask everybody to share their information.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's why I didn't say it.
Great, great, great. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And we have one other besides myself, and I think someone else has joined in with us. I'm going to turn your mic on, and if you came on a little later, you can identify yourself so I'll know who you are. Do we have a 313 co-author on the line? Okay, perhaps not.
That might be Kimberly.
I thought so. That's what I was hoping for because I didn't see her, but she didn't respond, so I blocked her back out, and we're going to move on to Miss Taisha. And I was laughing because we have two authors, co-authors, with the last name Love, and I'm assuming that's their legal name and not just their pen name, but I was going to say, does anybody remember there's a television program that used to be called, is it To Tell the Truth? And it says, I am, whoever the name is. And they said, well, the real person, please stand up. So I was going to say, well, the real I am Love, please stand up.
I am Love.
You are Love. Well, welcome, Love.
I am the real
Love. Say that again.
I said, I am the real Love.
The real Love. Okay. Well, you are Love and I am Love.
Bye first.
Nicole, tell us what you know about Miss Taisha Love.
Well, Taisha, I actually found while researching online, I was looking at different websites and different mentoring groups, you know, looking for more individuals who would be a good fit for this project. And again, just following the lead that I was given, and I came across Taisha's website, and I was just so inspired by her message that she's not her hair. And Evelyn, I know that you could relate to her having alopecia yourself. And Taisha's
Taisha's experience with her hair has to do with a time in her life where she had cancer, and I just really thought that her message was so powerful. So I reached out to her, and I think Taisha was like, who the heck is this stranger who is contacting me? And how did she find me? I do believe she asked me. She's like, how did you come across me? But it was her website, and it was her message, and I just thought it was so incredibly beautiful and so strong. And so I was able to speak with Taisha through, again, Skype or FaceTime. I don't know which one it was, but technology is so amazing these days. And I just fell in love with Taisha, and thankfully she accepted the opportunity from this crazy stranger that reached out to her.
I love it. Taking risks and stepping out the comfort zone. Well, welcome, Taisha. So we have a couple of things in common. So where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ambler, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. So you're way out east. Wonderful.
I am.
So the title of your chapter is I Am Able.
I am able.
Awesome.
Yes,
tell
ma'am.
Us about what's behind the inspiration behind your chapter.
What inspired I Am Able is the young Taisha and those that are out there like her. The young Taisha is one that needed to be told she is capable of overcoming struggles. She is. She needed to be told that she can reach her goals by setting them and believing in herself, and also that she needed to not allow the outside world or the distractions or the doubters or her self-doubt paralyze her. And she needed to be told to look within and to discover her passions and to live in her truth.
Mm. Awesome. And so what about what age was that young Taisha in need of those, and how did she discover her ability?
I believe it was preteens. I want to say about 12, 13. And the way she discovered them is there was so much negativity around her. And she knew that the world wasn't all negative. She needed to just hear something positive, something to motivate her, something to say that you can. And once she started ridding herself of those outside negativity, she started to listen to the positive that was within her that told her, you know, take risks. You know, don't listen to outsiders. Don't doubt yourself. Believe in yourself. If you have goals, with unyielding perseverance, just go for it. And you know, if it fails, you reevaluate. You shift things and you try again. If that's what you absolutely believe in, only if you believe in.
Right. So, was there a time when that lack of lacking that sense of ability hindered you?
Absolutely. There were some heavy times and times with a lot of doubt and questions, and that's when, you know, once I got out of the stage of sulking and feeling sorry for myself or feeling like, you know, I was unable and it was time to give up, I allowed myself to be in that moment, to feel all of those emotions, but I knew that I couldn't carry those emotions with me in my next stage. If I wanted to be better, I wanted to do better, I wanted to give more, I wanted to be more. So it was in those times that I allowed myself to feel it and know that I didn't want to be stuck there, but that's when I reevaluated things in my life and how can I continue to move forward? It's just a matter of, you know, shifting gears or changing the road, you know, changing up.
Exactly. And I love that you share the feelings, you feel them, allow yourself to feel them, but then you move forward. And a lot of times people either have them and get stuck there, or they totally ignore them, push through, and then they fall apart or blow up somewhere down the line.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's called balance. It's called balance.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for sharing. So I'm going to check back in and see if Kim Lee is on the line. Kim Lee, are you here? Kim Lee? Okay, I suppose not. Well, Miss Nicole.
Yes.
How did you meet me? How did you find me?
Evelyn, I came across you through seeking people out through mentoring, and it's so strange because just how the whole great plan works, because January, when I was led to this project, it just happened to, I don't believe in coincidences, just happened to coincidentally be National Mentoring Month. So that's how I came across you. I was led to you, and you just radiated joy. And I had put a post on the National Mentoring Month wall in Facebook, and you were so excited, and you were led back to me. And it's so funny because I had seen that you had met Les Brown, and I was like, oh, she's probably too big for this project, and she's probably not going to be interested in this. And you were so all for it, and I was just so excited. And then you and I had the opportunity to meet via Skype, and I just fell in love with you from the first time we talked. And you really have been a bit of a mentor to me throughout this entire project, and that's been amazing. I just feel so blessed by your presence. And I remember saying to you at a moment where I was exhausted and I was following where God was leading me throughout this project, and it wasn't all easy and it was a lot more work than I had ever anticipated. You know, you see a compilation and you just think, oh, that's easy. You just have a bunch of people write a chapter, they send it in, and it's all done. But it's so much more than that. And, you know, building relationships and having the right heart-centered people involved on such a special project, it was exhausting at times, but it's been such a true blessing. But during one of those moments of exhaustion, I remember saying to you, I was like, I don't know why God pressed this so heavily on my heart, and I have glory bumps right now because it just brings me back to that conversation. And your response was, Nicole, it's because kids are dying, and that's all I needed to hear. You know, if one person's life is changed through reading this book, then I think that we are successful. And, yeah, so a short story made long, that's how I came across you, and I love you.
Thank you. I love you, too. You know, it's interesting that you made that comment, because I don't even remember making the comment, but it's part of my conviction. Ironically, in the past week, I've learned of the deaths of two of the young people I've worked with, and my heart is just heavy. And if you listen to the theme song that we have, which was actually written and performed by a friend of mine and the song actually appears on our fundraiser CD called Rachel's Weeping for Her Children, and it says, on the streets they're crying because the children are dying. And it is so real. It is so real. And any time I feel like I'm losing, you know, my interest and momentum, one of two things will happen. I'll either get a text or a phone call or a note or something, or poke on Facebook from one of the young people that I've worked with who's doing really well, and they're reminding me, you know, thank you for being there for me. are. I'm getting, seeing something that's going on in the community, and it's like, you know, we can't afford, as Susan Taylor says, not on my watch. You know, I cannot watch, can see the kids going on. So I appreciate this. It's interesting because I just tagged the person who, I didn't even remember what it was on. I just saw mentoring and saw the book, and I'm not sure if you know Doris Pearson. We call her Dot, and Dot is actually lived here in California in the same city that I live in, Vallejo, for some time, and she was one of those people. She met me. She caught the vision of what I was doing, and there is not one place where Dot goes where she doesn't tell somebody about me. She's been all over the world, and someone will call and say, Dot told me to call you. So,
awesome.
Dot, if you're on, if you're listening to this call, I just want to say you've done it again, girl. Thank you so much. And she probably doesn't even remember. I don't know, because I asked if you knew her, and you said it didn't ring a bell. But she was the one that tagged me in one of the posts that you posted about this project. And as you say, I don't believe that there are any coincidences.
Right.
And I chose that I am loved because, one, you know, my story is I am the heart lady because, you know, my heart is filled with compassion for people in general, but especially our young people, those who are misjudged, misrepresented, not given the nurturing that they deserve. And I've watched so many young people go through situations without the love and support of family or anyone that considers them a priority, and I just want to love the whole world. And I just felt that it was just, you know, it was a no-brainer for me that that would be my chapter, I Am Loved. And I also went back to think about the times, even though I had both parents for a good part, even after they separated, but there were moments when I really didn't feel loved. I knew I was wanted, but I did not feel loved, especially after my father passed, and he was the one of the primary people in my life who just, you know, was just emotionally nurturing as a child growing up. And so when he passed, I realized, as I shared in my chapter, when I experienced bouts of depression over a period of years, I realized that was sort of like that little void in there that I felt was missing. But I also realized that I was blessed to have an earthly father who showed me and caused me to feel the love that also set the precedent for me developing a relationship with my heavenly father and my creator. So that's pretty much sums up my story. But there are so many people who don't feel loved. And I think that as a people, and even as those people who are in different faiths and religions, love is stated, but it's not acted on so many times. There are people who do things and hurt people, you know, in the name of their faith and religion. And the bottom line is they said that if you could have all of these things, you know, all of these gifts, that the greatest is love. So I really want to share love because with love, even when you don't have the money, when you have all these other internal factors of feeling wanted, of feeling able, of feeling creative, of feeling forgiven and free, and if you got love, you can conquer the world because I don't have a lot myself, but I know I've got heart, and that is the most important thing to me in my life, and it's the thing that keeps me connected to those who give my life meaning and purpose. So I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share that.
Oh, it's just such a blessing to be on this journey with you.
Yes, yes. And something I was going to share with you that I didn't, so I'll do it on public broadcast. I know when we talked and you found out, you know, that I worked with Les Brown. Shortly after that, his mentor, if anyone has heard his story, his mentor, Mr. Washington, who he talks about pretty much in every message, he died. And it occurred to me after listening to Les during his Monday motivational call, to share, you know, his sadness and his grief over losing Mr. Washington, I actually contacted him to ask him if we could use his story for the anthology. So I wanted you to know I was thinking of you and wanted to surprise you with that. But he told me that is actually the basis for his next book, so he didn't want to put the story out just yet.
Wow.
So I just want you to know that he is aware of who you are. He is aware of the book, and I'm sure at some point he'll have something more direct to say about it than in the video promotion that I completed. Since I couldn't get my voice on there, I figured, well, what better person to put on here?
Oh, that's,
so I believe
that's
what you're
so
doing
cool.
is a universal statement to the world, and even our great leaders, our great motivators are all impacted by what you have put inside the covers of this book. So I, again, thank you so very much.
I've got to give the glory to God, because I don't ever want to take the credit for anything in life. I've realized through what you know of a near-fatal accident that everything can be gone in a moment, and as the Bible shares, life is like a mist. So I'm just honored to be a vessel and part of his most amazing plan.
Indeed, indeed. Yes? Oh, I thought someone said Miss E. Maybe that was my echo or someone else saying indeed. I thought it was saying Miss E. So before we close, we do have a few more minutes. We've gone past the 1 hour mark, but I always say, you know, I don't like to cut people off immediately, even in my doing therapy sessions. I never say, oh, time is up. The next person knows that, you know, it's like I'll be with you in a few minutes. I want to wrap things up in a way that people can walk away and carrying something that they can hold on to, and everyone gets that same opportunity. So I've opened up all of the lines, and I welcome any and all of you to share any closing thoughts you might have about what you've heard and learned from the other authors, as well as sharing your contact information and your website where we can go and find the book on there, on your listing. But first of all, I must say that the website for the book is www.iamcompilation.com. Is that correct, Nicole?
It is.
Okay. And maybe you'll repeat it and someone hear it in a different voice, and it might get
yes,
them.
It's www.iamcompilation.com, and the book is available on Amazon now.
Awesome. Awesome. And I was talking so much, I forgot to go over to our chat room since the very beginning, and we have a few guests there. But because they're guests, they can't type or leave comments. So I'll just say hello to our guests. And if you're listening, you know, online, please, please, please drop us a note. Either hear a blog talk or go to the website for I Am. It's just I Am, right? I Am. Look for I Am on Facebook and leave us a note to let us know that you listened to this interview and just any thoughts or feedback you might have for us. You can also go to my page, Heart Talk. No, that's Block Talk. Talk to me, let me speak, Miss Evelyn the Heart Lady. Please leave your notes there for us. We just really like to hear from our listeners. So for our other authors.
We have the I Am Love, Wisdom, and Guidance Through Soul Reflection fan page on Facebook also, and that allows people to leave messages. So any messages shared there will be shared with all of the co-authors, and it would be great to hear from people.
Yes, that was what I was trying to say.
Teamwork,
so
Ms. Evelyn, teamwork.
I know I am loved, so say it again, please.
Sure, it's I Am Love, Wisdom, and Guidance Through Soul Reflection, and we have that fan page available on Facebook.
Yes, so please drop us all a line and tell us what you've gained from hearing us speak, and perhaps you might be interested in having us to come to share with you or your youth group or your whoever, your group, on any particular topics that are shared in this book, because we will be doing a tour, won't we, Nicole?
That sounds fantastic.
Yes, yes, it is, and we will, because we are able, and we are free, and we're creative. So, do any
Miss
other
E, this is Kim Lee. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, Kim Lee. Yes.
Hi. I kind of joined in a little late, but I just wanted to say I've enjoyed the last few minutes listening in, and I just love that piece you talked about. Just so many that are not surrounded in love. And I loved your chapter. I can't express enough the importance of youth and just even as adults to have that circle of love around us. I joined in late for those. My apologies for that. But my chapter was I Am Present. And mm-hmm. that is one of the reasons why I selected that title, because being present in your heart allows you to really embrace the love of yourself. And being that I had struggled so long with low self-esteem, it took me a while to learn to love myself. So I love that we have a chapter that's even in there called I Am Loved, because so many of us need to, you know, have that experience of feeling supported mm-hmm. and loved. And very excited to be here on the show tonight and listening to everything. And I love that ideal about the tour.
Yes. So wait to get busy on that. And I'm so glad you can join us. I was calling you out a little earlier. I said, I thought that was her. I said, well, maybe not. So, and I still have yet to listen to your broadcast from this morning. So it's been a full day for all of our I Am contributors. So I just want to say congratulations and cheers to everyone. And please tell our listening audience the name of your program so they can maybe look it up and listen to the recording from your interview this morning, Kimberly?
My show is called Conversations That Inspire Action, and you can find that on Blog Talk Radio. So it's blogtalkradio.com/conversations-that-inspire-action. And you'll hear a few of the other authors who joined us this morning and just shared a little bit about why they contributed and what they wanted, you know, the audience to walk away with. And we had some pretty good thoughts this morning, knowing you want it and knowing that your past does not determine your future, and be free to be you. So it was just really great to enjoy this day with so many of you all and just continue to be inspired.
Wonderful. Well, I'm really thrilled about the connections that have been made here. I said my prayer is always that the Lord send me people of like mind and like heart, and he's doing it. And it's just been awesome. This past month, I've met three people live in person that I have been talking to on Facebook for an extended period of time. And it's like, we're real. We're really real people. And it's just joy. So I'm going to see who is good at event planning and see if we can maybe even hook up regionally to find out where we can go and take this book even further, but most of all, take our hearts, take our vision, take our messages nationwide, and if even so, worldwide. So
we've got some diversely talented individuals with such amazing backgrounds from marketing to event planning. We're really, really blessed within this project. So I see it all working out the way you envision.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I love putting on events. This is Kim Lee, and I've done several, so I definitely will take part in that project, make a wonderful event for us to come and have our hearts nurtured, as I like to say. Welcome home to your heart. That's the experience you want people to have.
Wonderful. And where are you calling from, Kimberly?
I'm in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay.
So East Coast, or I should say Eastern Time Zone, Midwest area.
Okay.
And pretty excited.
Right. And I just wanted to make a comment on your title, Present. You know, a lot of times when children are daydreaming and off someplace and people say, come back, you know, you're not here, you're not present, or a lot of times kids feel invisible, or people, I keep saying kids, but we all are children on the inside. And there's this whole sense that I am present, I'm here, I am noticed, I'm not invisible, and I have significance. So that just comes to mind. So I'm looking forward to reading everyone's chapters, and this is just going to be just totally awesome.
And
so
that was
exactly
my experience. I always felt invisible, never present, and lived in the shadows, and I have enjoyed stepping out into the spotlight of my own life. So it's, that's what it was about.
Ooh, I love it. I just thought of, I'm a music person, so I just got goose pimples because I thought of I'm Coming Out, both Diana Ross and Martha Minuzzi.
Yeah, that's my jam. That's my theme song.
Is it really?
It is. That's the theme song that transformed me. Of course, the newer version where they had the rappers in it, but it was great.
Yes, indeed. It's the same message. All right.
Yeah.
So does anyone have anything else to say? We have 4 minutes before the little block talk lady cuts us off.
I can say a quick something.
Lady? Go ahead. Yes.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to say something real quick. This is Taisha. I just want to say I'm excited about the bonds that has formed throughout this project and that I feel like I have another family through the co-authors of I Am, but I'm mostly thrilled that others will be greatly impacted by each of the co-authors of I Am, and I'm excited that that it's going to touch many souls is going to be healed and lives is going to be transformed. And with I Am, it's empowering and transformational, and it teaches healing spiritually and emotionally, and it overcomes distress and remorse, and it teaches someone to rid oneself of limitations and doubts and fears and to grow from troubling experiences instead of being stuck in them. And so I believe it's going to motivate and help others to overcome adversity and teach them to believe and love themselves in order to live fully and to live in their truth. So I'm really excited about everyone sharing their story, so brave and so inspirational, and I'm inspired by the co-authors. I thought I was going into this to inspire someone, and I have been touched just as much as I believe that this is going to touch so many other lives.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Shannon, Suzanne?
I just want to thank you, Evelyn.
You're more than welcome.
This has been a wonderful opportunity.
Great. Well, now I have a greater sense of people are because I've not been on the page as much in the group because I've got 1,000 things going on, but at least I'll have a greater sense of feeling who everyone is, and I'm looking forward to sharing a lot more in the future. And I didn't go through and ask for websites and contact information, but please put that on the fan page for
okay.
I Am. Did anyone hear that?
Yes.
She said, I have 90 seconds, so that's 1 minute, 30 seconds, 1.5 minutes. Anyway, put your contact information so listeners can contact you because someone may be interested specifically in your story as it's related to that particular population. And that doesn't mean that we still can't do things together, but we all are out here on a mission. So I am thrilled. I am honored. I am excited. So have a great evening. Take care, and God bless.
Thank you. You
too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Good night.
Heavenly mothers crying, see the children are dying at the hands of the other child. I know her heart is breaking, I feel the earth is shaking, but rivers flow from the tears she cries. She cries, she cries, she Rachel's sleeping for her children. on the streets of Brazil. Children gathered, shot, killed, begging, "Mister, can you spare a dime? A dime?" System beat my mother. She left me and my brother. Still for food that we are only crying. If it's a crime, it's a crying shame. Another week